You are listening to the Cromwell Cares podcast, a production by Cromwell Media. I am Tanya Iverson, your host of Cromwell Cares podcast. I want to say thank you for taking the time to listen and learn about our local nonprofits right here in our community. I would like to also take a moment to thank our supporters and partner in Cromwell Cares, Jerry Ray Davis and Robert Edge with Kentucky Farm Bureau. Thank you for your support. I hope you enjoy May's edition of Cromwell Cares with our nonprofit of the month, Wendell Foster. Good afternoon and welcome to the Cromwell Cares podcast. I am your host, Tanya Iverson, General Manager of Cromwell Media. And today I'm very excited to introduce one of my friends that I've known for a while. But we are in the studio today with our May Cromwell Cares Nonprofit of the Month winner. Congratulations. Doug Hoyt, thank you so much for coming in. Thank you so much for all the things that you've done. And I've known you for, gosh, probably 8 years now. And yeah. You've done incredible things since I've known you. And here you are again, once again, doing incredible things.
Well, thank you for saying that, Tanya.
You're welcome.
Yeah, this particular thing that I get to do now is such a privilege, and that's to serve as the CEO of Wendell Foster. It is one of the more meaningful things that I've had the opportunity to do in my life, and it's such a privilege to be able to serve Wendell Foster and to do this podcast to let people know just who we are, what we do. We seem to be a hidden gem, and I do call us a gem.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people drive by on Triplett Street and say, "Oh yeah, yeah, I know Wendell Foster," but they really don't know who we are. And I didn't know who we were until I got involved with Wendell Foster. So this is such a tremendous opportunity to tell our story.
Well, I'm excited that you're going to do that right here with me, because I know we've talked about all the great things and the services that you guys provide, but being able to tell everybody else is incredible.
It really is. And this year in particular has special meaning to us. So, just to kind of go back and talk about Wendell Foster a little bit, we began in 1947. So this is our 75th year of providing services in the exact same location in Owensboro, providing services to people with intellectual and developmental disabilities for the whole region for 75 continuous years as a nonprofit. I think that's an amazing thing for anybody, for any business. But as a nonprofit, we have been so fortunate to have the support of the entire community for all of those years. It's just so meaningful what we do. Wendell and Edith Foster, all those many years ago, had a daughter, Louise, who was born with cerebral palsy. And that was the beginning, the very beginning of Wendell Foster. He went to the war, World War II, and was a cook, came back, and he tried to learn everything he could about how to take care of people with disabilities because he wanted to care for his daughter. What a magnanimous thing that he did, right? I mean, we all do that as parents. And he took it a step further. He went throughout the entire community knocking on doors. And then think about 1946 and 1947. People didn't talk about people with disabilities like they do today. They hid them away.
Right, yeah.
And that's exactly what people were doing. But he knocked and they knocked on doors and they found seven children. People who said, yeah, I do. I have that person, that child that has a disability. And they brought those children together into their backyard, and they began performing therapy on those children in 1946. And in 1947, officially, Wendell Foster became an organization, and they began performing those services officially as a nonprofit. I mean, that's an incredible story about how our organization began and how they literally went door to door trying to find people who they wanted to care for. The people didn't come to them. They went to the people and found those families. And, you know, it's a heritage that we're so proud of. And it, in our 75th year, we just have so much rich history that we've been able to develop, be part of, and I guess experience what we call yes moments for all of those years. And so I like to talk about the yes moments just a little bit. So I tell the folks that I talk to, it's not just yes, it's yes. It's that kind of a moment,
right, yeah.
When you get really excited about something that you've done to help another person. We have speech therapists who work with children who can't swallow, can't talk. They can't tell their parents that they love them. And our therapists have taken their skills, worked with those people, and now those children are able to, maybe with their voice, maybe by using a communication device with their eyes, they can now talk to their parents and tell them they love them and tell them the things that you and I are talking about and that we talk about every day and take for granted.
Right. Being able to just communicate and be understood, whether it's, you know, through sign language, gestures, whatever. That's so incredible.
Absolutely anything. And we take it for granted. And I think that's the thing I've learned most of, or appreciate most about now being involved with Wendell Foster for a number of years, is the things that I and most people take for granted, the people that we serve and support, they don't take it for granted. The very basic things in life are so meaningful to them. And if you just pause for a moment and watch them and listen to them, it gives me and it gives so many people just such joy to know that we're touching them mm-hmm. in a way that they've never been touched before. They're able to do things. It's their yes moment.
Yeah.
They are able to do something they didn't do before. We have a young lady who is a resident of ours that when she came to live at Wendell Foster, she was just completely afraid of going outside.
Wow.
I can't imagine that. You can't imagine that, Tanya.
Right.
I mean, we do that all the time.
So nice outside. I love being outside.
Every day. We go in yeah. and outside all the time. Mm-hmm. She didn't want to be outside. So we have speech therapists, occupational therapists, and physical therapists, and all of our therapists worked with this young lady. And today, she gets so excited. Now she dresses up to go outside and just is so proud and wants to wave at everybody because it's something she can do. That's her yes moment. She goes outside and swings. She didn't do that before.
Right.
We did that as kids, and we take it for granted. She doesn't.
Yeah.
It's those kinds of experiences that really cause me to just be so proud of what we do.
To be a part of something so great, and to think for 75 years, you know, it started with seven people.
Yeah.
Seven kids.
Yeah, and so...
And all the lives that have been touched since then. I mean, just seven in the very, very, very beginning, which, you know, obviously has a ripple effect because those seven people were affected and then it affects their family.
That's exactly right. That's the message that we try to share with as many people as we can, is the multiplier effect of mm-hmm. what we do. It's not just that person that we provide some therapy for or that lives with us or something special happens to. It's the brothers and the sisters and the mothers and the fathers and the grandparents. I go to church with a lady who's the great-grandmother of somebody who receives therapy and has. And, you know, I've told this story before, that every week go to church and she wants to talk about what we do. and the therapist that cares for her granddaughter. And, you know, they never thought that she was going to walk. And the physical therapist has worked with her, and she does now walk. And it was one of the greatest pleasures that her husband saw before he passed away, was the great-granddaughter being able to walk. And it was because of what our physical therapist did every day working with this child. And it's stories like that that, I mean, it just, it melts your heart. It makes you know you're doing the right thing.
Yeah. I know that you guys have a lot of people. So I have a stepson who actually lives at Wendell Foster. My husband has a son that is there. And I've met people who have told me that, you know, they didn't really know Wendell Foster until he was there. And now they're involved all the time, and they can't not be involved just because of the spirit of the place and how, you know, happy the people are that are there and how they've changed their lives. And I've just heard so many incredible stories from people, you know, that I didn't know. And, you know, I didn't really know a lot about Wendell Foster either until, you know, we met. And then, you know, I met his son and got to visit and got to go there. And it's like they're a family. Seriously.
It's
incredible to me how, you know, how close everybody is and how, you know, it's like they all live together and they're a family. So,
yeah, you know, we do have just over 100 folks that call Wendell Foster home in different settings. Mm-hmm. And they do think of it as their home. And that's what we want them to do. You know, now we provide support for them. And, you know, for most of them, we provide 24-hour care and support at the level that they need. But it is it's phenomenal to me how some of these folks come to us. We've got a lady that calls Wendell Foster home, who came to us through her family that lived out west.
Wow.
And they heard of us, and they waited for an opening, and she came to us. They moved here. They moved their family here, and now they live here.
So, speaking of waiting list, I know that, you know, waiting list is quite long because there's just no other place that does what you guys do.
Well, you're right. It is long. And one of the things when I took over in this position was I kept discovering people. They would call me, friends would call me and say, okay, so my mother is aging and my brother needs help, and what can I do? And unfortunately, our waiting list is long enough that even if they think they might need our services 10 years down the road, they need to get on the waiting list now.
Right.
And so I've tried to encourage folks to do that. And our waiting lists have grown in all areas of our services.
Right.
And that's a good thing, but it's a bad thing.
Right.
You know, it shows that there is a lot of demand, and I hate that there is that demand.
Right.
But I'm proud that we're able to take care of some of it. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to see if there isn't more and different ways that we can take care of some of that demand or more of that demand. To give you an idea of the magnitude of our services, we, in 2021, last year, all of that last year, we provided more than 65,000 services to people with disabilities. To me, that's an amazing number.
In 1 year?
In 1 year.
Wow.
65,000 services. That's physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, assistive technology. We have an amazing assistive technology group that loans out devices, assistive devices, switches that people can use to play games, or durable medical equipment that they can loan, and it's all free. We provide all of those services at no cost to anybody that needs them. And they may have a child with a disability, and they need to try a piece of equipment that's very expensive before they buy it.
Right.
If we have it, they can borrow it for any length of time at no cost. It is a tremendous asset, and we ship all over the state of Kentucky. So when you put all of those things we do, plus the folks that live with us, we have transportation services where we provide 15 plus thousand trips a year to people with disabilities, to doctor's appointments, or maybe they just want to go to McDonald's and get a meal, and we'll take them.
I know that you guys, you know, dropped my stepson off for Thanksgiving, for Christmas.
So, absolutely.
And come and picked him up. So,
yeah, we just got back. We have a recreation staff that's amazing staff. Mm-hmm. They do some really, really cool things with the people that, that we support. A couple of weeks ago, for two different weeks, they took about four or five of our residents to Gatlinburg for a week.
Oh, fun.
You know, I mean, we take vacations. We've been to Disney World. We've been to Colorado skiing. And yeah, anything. It's so we're very person-centered. The person who we care for, who lives with us, who chooses us as their home, we want to support them, not tell them what to do. And so we're very person-centered. So it's just like you will decide, hey, I want to go on vacation to this place. They do the same thing.
Right.
We take them fishing and, I mean, just all kinds of different things. Camping. I learned something more about Wendell Foster every day that I just had no idea.
Right.
And so that's really the message that we want to get out is, hey, come learn about us.
Right.
Right. And so one of the real efforts that we're trying to make is come and take a tour.
Mm-hmm.
Learn what we do. I do the tours. We have a couple of other folks that do the tours. We want you to come and engage with us and see what we do, because I just happen to believe if you learn what we do and you see what we do and you interact with the folks that we interact with, you're going to fall in love with what we do.
Right.
And that's what we want. Expose the world to Wendell Foster, one person at a time.
Yeah.
So that everybody can see the yes moments. And you can. You can see them right there.
Right.
Right in front of your eyes.
Every day.
Yeah.
So you told us the services that you guys provide, the 65,000 last year.
Mm-hmm.
So how many residents do you guys have? Do you have a number breakdown, employees, people that work for you?
Sure do. So we have about 110 people that call Wendell Foster home. Now that's in different settings, some on our campus. It's in the intermediate care facility. We also have some that live with us on campus who are in an SCL environment, which is they live in a home, three people in a home, and it's fully staffed by Wendell Foster. Does not have skilled nursing care, where the ICF does have skilled nursing care for anybody with those medical needs. We also have people who live in independent living homes. They live by themselves, and maybe they need the support of somebody to come and help them do laundry or go grocery shopping or something like that, an occasional assistance.
Right.
Interestingly, we have two of those folks in the independent living situation that are full-time employees of ours. We've hired them. Yeah.
Right.
I think it's tremendous that we even go that level of support. Mm-hmm. And that is support.
Right.
We also have folks that live in SCL homes, residential homes, out in the community, in homes that we rent, and then we staff them the same way.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know these things.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we have our transportation services. I mentioned all of the therapies. There's many hundreds of folks that come through our therapies. And I think it's we have such a top-notch staff. There will be rare cases of diseases, diagnoses that we get from Cincinnati, Louisville, Lexington, physicians who know that we have the skill set to take care of those people with a rare disease, a rare diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And so they send them here because we're skilled at that. We have some extremely skilled professionals that work for us. Then in addition to that, we have our day training program. Our day training allows any of those that I just mentioned or anybody else in the community who might have a disability, they can come to the day training and they learn skills, occupational type skills. We don't have employment through that program. We just have the opportunity for them to learn throughout the day. That's fun. We also have, basketball hoops that they can play basketball, right. But they also learn different skills and learn different occupational things. Occupational not meaning go to work, meaning you can take care of yourself. You might learn to feed yourself, or you might learn how to make a meal or clean up, or
right, just kind of like
that.
Regular
everyday
things
skills
that we do.
And so to do all of those things, Wendell Foster has 370 employees, which was another statistic that I was blown away by. After I started working at Wendell Foster, I wanted to know how that compared in the community. How do we rank, if you will? Everybody's interested in numbers, right, and ranking and all of that.
Yeah.
So I got in contact with some folks and I looked at the numbers and the lists of employers in the county. And right now, if you happen to look at the Economic Development Corporation's website, we are the 10th largest employer on that list in Davis County.
Wow.
I'm real proud of that. You know,
awesome.
370 employees is a pretty significant economic impact, mm-hmm, for this community. So it's not just the impact of those we serve. It's the impact as an employer, mm-hmm, and all of the families that we're able to provide a decent job for.
Right. That's awesome. So you've told me a lot about Wendell Foster. I want you to tell me a little bit about why you decided to become the CEO of Wendell Foster and how that happened. A little bit about Doug.
A little bit about Doug. So I do have a story that I love to tell. So in 2016, I had the opportunity to run for mayor of Owensboro.
Really? Huh. I had no idea.
Yeah.
I'm teasing.
yeah. You were something more than a little part of that.
Right, I was.
and I mention that because one of the events that I was invited as a candidate was an event that Wendell Foster had one evening in our sensory park. Our sensory park is fully handicap accessible park right on our campus that is open to be used by the public. And it was used that night for an event where the symphony came and played. And as a candidate, I was invited to attend. So I did. So Brenda, my wife and I, we went and we were sitting there and listening to the symphony play. And one of the members of the board, who happens to now be the chairman of the board, came up, introduced himself, and at that time he said, if you're ever interested in a tour, let me know. I said, of course I'm interested
That's
in a
awesome.
Tour, you know, so
yeah.
We did. It was some few weeks later that I got in touch with him, and I went and I took a tour. Now, pause that conversation, because when I began campaigning for mayor, the very first day that Brendan and I went out knocking on doors and trying to put signs in yards, we stopped at this one house that was near mine in our neighborhood. And I spent a good deal of time talking to these folks, mm-hmm, the husband and wife who lived in this house. In fact, I spent long enough that Brenda went and distributed all the campaign material on four streets while I was talking to this one person. But anyway.
So what you're saying is you can talk.
or it was a great conversation.
Tanya, I've said many times, it takes me at least 5 minutes to introduce myself.
Right.
So anyway, so I tell that because this day I took the tour, I was passing through our outpatient therapy area, and one young man hollered out my name. And I thought, how in the world does this young man know my name? And I went back and talked to him. And I don't know exactly how old they were. It was something 10, 11, 12 years old. And as I turned around, there's triplets sitting there.
Oh,
three
wow.
brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Only one of them talked, and he kept talking to me about my campaign. And he said, there's a sign in my neighbor's yard, and I know about you. And he just kept talking to me. So I went home that night and I looked at my email, and I had an email from a lady and said, I can't begin to tell you how much I appreciate you stopping and talking to my sons today at Wendell Foster. I thought, you know, wow, that's cool. So I just had to tell Brenda about this. And I looked them up, and as luck would have it, that mother and those kids lived in that first house that I campaigned at. That very first day of my campaign. And the sign they saw was in their yard. And they had been coming to Wendell Foster for therapy for a number of years, and the parents had been engaging them in politics, and they were supporting me, and with a sign in my yard and talking about me. And that's how they knew about me. And so I went to their house. I put all my campaign materials together, and I went to their house and took them all a bag of everything I had, a T-shirt and fingernail files and all that stuff that candidates
right.
give away.
Yeah.
And we took a picture. And on my desk today, I have that picture of those triplets with me on that day. And that's really what got me stoked about Wendell Foster.
Kind of full circle, huh?
It's
like it was looking for you.
It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just karma is an amazing thing.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I was not long after that asked if I would be interested to be a member of the board. And I quickly said yes. I was for a few years. The opportunity became available to apply for the CEO position. I was encouraged to do that. I did. And here I am.
All right. What a beautiful story.
I love telling it, and yeah. I appreciate you letting me.
Yeah, I love that whenever something kind of seeks you out, you know it's meant to be, and it's where you belong. So.
And there's no question that happened in this case.
Yeah. So you want to encourage people to come and take a tour, because after that, they're going to be hooked and fall in love.
I really think so. You know, we give tours all the time, and this time of year, by the way, is absolutely the best time to come and take a tour when the weather is nice, because the folks that call Wendell Foster home are out in the park, and they love being outside and sitting under the kites and the shade and just outside doing things, just like we do.
Right.
And so it's pretty common that this time of year you're going to have some interaction with some of those folks as well.
Right.
As
and
opposed to cooped up in the wintertime.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Definitely want to get out, especially after the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Get out and see people.
That's right.
But you guys have a beautiful campus.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It we
really
do.
Is a beautiful
and we love
campus.
To show it off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, definitely take a tour. So, anything you want to add for people to connect, to be able to connect with you, learn more about Wendell Foster, anything you want to say in closing?
You know, I don't think there's anything more I can say. I really just invite people to learn who we are, and the best way I know for that to happen is to talk to us. Talk to me, call me, email me, come see me, stop by. That doesn't matter. Or any of our staff, and I'm always open and willing, very willing to talk with folks and share our story. You know, this being our 75th year of providing those yes moments mm-hmm. is just another way that we can show what we do and tell that story. It gives us that platform. So please, by all means, come see us, take an hour of your time, take a tour, learn who we are, learn what we do, and I think you'll be hooked too.
Yes, I think so too. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it and look forward to another 75 years of serving the community and
absolutely
being a difference maker.
Thank you so much, Tanya.
Thank you. I just want to say thank you for listening to the Cromwell Cares podcast. We look forward to, throughout the year of 2022, educating you about the local nonprofits right here in our community. We want to thank the people who made this possible. We want to thank Jerry Ray Davis. You have a friend in the car business. We also want to thank Robert Edge with Kentucky Farm Bureau for being a supporter and a partner with Cromwell Cares. You have been listening to the Cromwell Cares podcast, a production by Cromwell Media.